Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to be here today in honoring my parents who gave their lives. They came into the ministry in the 50s. Before that, they were just young children, young teenagers that didn't know what laid ahead in their lives. But as a result of their obedience to the calling of the Lord, they came to this region and they served the Lord approximately 50 years together. They pastored together, and they came to the city of Lorain not knowing a single person. Like the video said, they arrived. My mother told me one time they drove from Toledo to Lorain, and after they had put 5 cents of gas in their car. You know, now that's a miracle. They need to redo that again. We need to work this out. But they came not knowing anybody. The first night, if I'm not mistaken, the first night they slept in the car, not knowing anyone. The second day they met a gentleman that became a member of their church and was there till the day that my parents left. And he stayed there for many more years after that. But this gentleman was a blessing to their lives. They faced many situations in their ministry in Lorain, Ohio. In the 40s, when they were married, my parents, believe this or not, they were considered a biracial couple because my mother was Puerto Rican and my father was Mexican. In the Mexican community and in the Puerto Rican community, this was unacceptable totally. There was no such thing as usually if there was Mexicans and Puerto Ricans together in the same room, they were not discussing anything like how good the food is or anything like that. They were going at it. That was normal. But they overcame this. They overcame, the lack of finances. They overcame the language barrier. They overcame the weather, which they were not used to, because they were obedient to the calling that God had placed on their lives. They came to minister, and ministered they did. They served, like the video said, they established churches from Youngstown to through Cleveland area, Fremont, Defiance, Archibald. And on Sunday mornings, we would go to church, and on Sunday evenings, we would go to church. And in between that, we would go to the mission field. And, you know, it was like back up the car, and away we'd go, and they would preach on the bullhorns, and they would just minister to the migrant workers. And for me, I think about this now. Here are two people that were not afraid to stand up and minister the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No matter where they went, when we would go on vacation to Mexico, we would go into a small city and in the plazas, my father was already preaching. You know, he didn't waste any time. We would go to, I remember one time we went to a birthday party and somebody said, oh, the Reverend is here and he's going to speak. I'm thinking we'll be here like for a real long time. You know, at that birthday party, about 15 people got saved because he didn't care. You know what I mean? It was like, that's what God had called them to do. So this was their life. You know, my parents were at their tallest when they were on their knees because they spent a lot of time on their knees seeking the face of God, seeking God's direction, seeking God's wisdom. After they left Lorain, they went to Illinois, they went to Inverness, Florida, they went to Guatemala, they ministered there for 2 years, and then the last, I believe, 15 or 16 years of their life, they spent in Santa Maria, California, and so for me, it's like, I see these videos. They said, look at the lights. But, to me, they are, you know, the example that they set for us as, you know, their sons and for so many people. My father, I think my father married half the city of Lorain. He married and baptized, and he buried a whole bunch of people, too, you know, and I'm just saying, they had a tremendous influence in the community. So today, I am so, so grateful that we have these few minutes just to remember, you know, the work the efforts that are placed by people that people will do when God calls them. And when they are obedient to that calling, the results are phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You did great. You did great. You did great. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Wow. We, of course, are celebrating over the last 4 weeks the National Hispanic Heritage Celebration Month. And I found out today that the reason why it's half of September and half of October is because many Latin American countries received their independence during this time. And so that's why it's split between half a month for the celebration. And, you know, being the first Pentecostal church, Spanish church in Lorraine, which we have a church there as well, our first service, there is a tremendous move of God as a result. And many, many of the churches today had their birth out of that one church. So you see, one life makes a huge difference, doesn't it? And I believe your life makes a difference as well. And I just feel that we can take this mantle that has come down to a son and shared today and take this to this generation. Amen? Because I believe God has a call for us as well to make a difference in our time. You know, when you're on stage, when your time in the sun has been appointed, make the most of it for Jesus. You know, and then pass the baton on to the next generation and let them burn for God as well, right? Amen. Well, this morning I'm excited. I know that all the 18 to 35 year olds are getting ready to have a little party on October 24th. It's called O2, and those of you who are in that age bracket, you can get to Facebook and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's at Pastor Adam's house, and I believe you're going to have a great time getting together and get to know some people. But today it's my privilege. I have had a lot of friends. I'm blessed to have many ministry friends that I have come to know, and Pastor Reyes is one of the most dignified gentlemen that I've ever met. His wife, Lillian, is an absolute gem. She is so soft-spoken and kind and carries a deep, deep word. And we're grateful to have them here today. They pastor New Jerusalem Assembly of God Church. It's a Spanish Assembly of God. And I wanted him to come and accentuate even more our celebration of this Hispanic Heritage Month. You are going to be very, very blessed when you hear him minister the word. A dear friend, a faithful man of God, Church on the North Coast, please let's give honor to whom honor is due. Let's stand to our feet and let's welcome Pastor Daniel Reyes.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, Church on the North Coast. Really, really good to be with you today. I've had the chance to speak at the Lorraine campus, and today, what an honor to be here with you. And just want to say, Pastor Cayetan, I've always admired you, and he was so gracious to be able to share with us last year on our School of Leadership training, and he brought a powerful word, and I still listen to it just about every other month, and it's a powerful word that he brought. Good stuff. You have a great pastor, and it's really good to be here. Yeah. It's all right to brag on it. Pastor Tina and Pastor Mary, thank you for your hospitality here. This is the first time I've been here, but the place looks amazing. Looks very nice, and makes you want to stay here. Amen. So y'all got to stay here, all right? Don't go anywhere. Amen. I just want to, I know Brother Nodal, and he spoke so articulately and so succinctly concerning the ministry that his parents carried out in the city of Lorraine. I'm just going to share just a few minutes. Pastor Cayetan asked me to just share a little bit on my father's contribution also in the Hispanic Heritage in the area of Lorain, Ohio. And there's some common things that Pastor Reyes Nodal has with my father. And besides the name, my father, our last name is Reyes. And my father also studied at Latin American Bible Institute. Right now it evades me what year it was, but it wasn't the first year. And he also went to training. He went to La Puente, California. And then he transferred to Isleta, Texas. And there he finished his training. And he came back to New York for a brief stint and then went out to Puerto Rico. And there he pastored a church and he met my mother. And I didn't know this till some years ago, right around the time my mother passed. But I was told that my mom, together with her uncle, were the ones that founded the church. And since my uncle didn't preach very well, and that wasn't his calling, just felt a burden from God to start a church ministry in Utuado, Puerto Rico, my mom used to do the preaching. And she used to do the teaching also. So it was I felt so proud to know that, not that I didn't know that she could preach, but so early on in her her spiritual walk, and she did great things for the Lord. They got married, and they moved to Chicago, then to Cleveland. And there at Cleveland, they started a Bible training center. It's called Ebenezer Bible Institute, which actually today stands with a denomination here in the Midwest region of the United States. And then they moved to Lorain. My father sensed the calling of God to go to the west side of Lorain. And a lot of Hispanics actually lived on the southeast side of Lorain. And he felt a burden for the west side as Hispanics began to move into that side of town. It was not a very easy thing. I remember as a child when we bought a building on a corner there on 22nd Street and Reed Avenue, a number of times. That used to be like a small marketplace. And our parents and the congregation transformed it into the house of the Lord. And on a number of occasions, overnight, we'd people would come and throw cinder blocks in through the front window. A number of people didn't want us to be there because most of Hispanics were on the southeast side. And my parents just continued believing that God had something great in that side of town for the Hispanics. And I believe it was a wonderful time because what was happening at Templo Betel and a number of other congregations, God was stirring up the city to do to have an awakening. And I know that, like, for instance, in the 70s and the 80s, we saw a lot of people come to the Lord. There was a hunger for God as a consequence of what these mighty men of God and women of God planted. My father then went off and was led to go to Michigan after a number of years. He established a church ministry in Lorain. He mentored a number of people. He was an advocate for Hispanics there in the city of Lorain. A lot of people lived in our house. Our basement became like an apartment building for people that came from Puerto Rico or from Central America. And my dad believed in holistic ministry, that he not only did he have a responsibility to feed them the spiritual word, but he also had a responsibility to help them receive the physical food and minister to them body, soul, and spirit. So some years later, he went to, Lord led him to Michigan. He founded a Bible training center there. He moved back to Ohio. We moved a lot of places throughout our time. And in upstate New York, he founded a church there and then came back. And years later, the Lord called him home. And after he closed his life on this side of eternity, he had given to the Lord 59 years of ministry to the Lord as a pastor, teacher, church planter, Bible training center founder, and a playwright as well. He used to travel. He used to write his own plays and do evangelistic outreaches with members of the church. And This was a man that grew up in poverty during the Great Depression in Puerto Rico. His mom died when he was 14. His dad died when he was 16. They both died of tuberculosis. He went out to work out in the fields to try and make a living. The rest of his siblings were divided amongst family members and a convent. And he was out in the street basically becoming a farmhand. And a family decided to adopt him when he went to Arecibo. And they began to take him to Sunday school. And this woman, I just want to kind of close with this. Where the Lord brought him from many years ago in Puerto Rico. And she was a woman that was used of God for healing. She had the gift of healing. And on one of her walls inside the house, I remember my oldest brother told me that my dad had told him that she had kind of a wall of relics of canes and braces and all kinds of stuff that were there as a testimony of the healings that God had performed through this woman. And so one day she prayed over my dad, because when he worked out in the fields from sunup to sundown, he broke his back. He injured his back. The doctors told him he'd have to wear a metal brace on his back for the rest of his life. And she just believed in God that God could heal him and heal his back. And certainly the Lord responded favorably and healed his back. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so she took him to Sunday school, took him to church services there. And through the miracle that God did and through his attending services, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the age of 17 years, he surrendered his life to Jesus. Several months after that, he was fire baptized. And then God called him to the ministry, and there was no letting down after that. God used him in a mighty way. And I'm so proud to be a part of what my parents did. And today I can say that it's an honor to stand on their shoulders, knowing what they did to carry on the ministry and the legacy of what God has done through their lives, and we're carrying it on to the next generation. I have a brother who was a missionary in Sevilla, Spain for 9.5 years. He's pastoring in Long Island, and he's the director of the School of Missions. My oldest brother is going to start a church plant. He's got the gift of teaching and administration. My sister is the pastor, the worship pastor at Crossroads with Pastor Santo. My youngest brother is a youth pastor in Houston, Texas, and I've been shepherding for about 18 years for the glory of God. And I plan to die on the altar if God would allow me that privilege and that honor. So we're so blessed to be a part of what God has done and God pointed out to my parents where they were in their Hispanic setting, and God has touched a lot of people. And so I'm thankful to God for that. Amen. I want to ask my daughter to come forward. First, I want to ask my whole family to come forward, please. And I just want to present them to you today. Amen. My wife and 3 girls. And then my daughter is going to sing a song today in Spanish, if that's all right with you. This is my daughter, Dalia. And she's our middle daughter. She's 12. She's going to be 13 really soon. Celeste may be, have difficulty coming up the steps. She's our oldest daughter. She's 17 years of age. You want to say hi?
Hi, people.
She's not scared of the microphone. She's scared of steps, but she's not scared of microphone. This is our youngest daughter, Natalia Rosa. And her second name is named after my mother. And this is the gem and the jewel. And my partner, my marriage partner, my ministry partner. And I got to tell you, without her, I don't know where I'd be. But I want to praise God for Pastor Lillian. I don't know if she wants to say hi.
God bless everyone. And thank you for having us this today. We're blessed to be here. Amen. Worshiping together. And looking forward to hear the word this afternoon.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to ask Dalia if she wants to stick around as they sit. And she's going to sing a song. And her song is a song that invites people into the presence of God to worship him, to rejoice, to come into the house of God and give him the highest praise. Amen.
our hands up to the Lord. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Te invitamos a cantar nuestra canción de alabanza. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Te invitamos a entregar el corazón de alabanza. Regocíate, canta al Señor. Regocíate, rejoice, rejoice. Regocíate, canta al Señor. Regocíate. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Te invitamos a cantar nuestra canción de alabanza. Alabamos, glorificamos y exaltamos, y exaltamos. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Bienvenidos a la casa de Dios. Te invitamos a entregar el corazón en alabanza. Levantemos nuestras manos al Señor y iré. Y a una voz gritemos que Él es Worship you, Jesus. Regocíate, canta al Señor. Regocíate.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As long as you stood up to your feet, if it's all right, there's some things that I still hang on to in terms of reading scripture and praying. I'm going to share with you a few scriptures, and so I won't read right now, but can you help me pray today that God would speak to us? I just don't want to come here and sermonize you. Amen. My prayer today is that that the words of the sacred text would leap out of the pages and speak to us today. I didn't come here to promote religiosity. I came here to promote a move of God and to hear the living word of God. And if you could just help me and ask God to speak to our hearts today, that we would come out of this place transformed by the power of his word, and that we would not be the same. Father, we love you so much. We hunger for you today. Lord, we have a yearning within us to draw closer to you, Lord, to know you, to understand you, and to be empowered by you. We pray today. Father, I just want to be your mouthpiece. I pray, Lord God, send your fire. Lord, as Isaiah, that you brought that coal to his lips, that he may speak. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would do the same with me, and that your Holy Spirit, where I mess up, that he will fix it up. That your anointing would flow in this place, and that when we leave this place, that folks wouldn't say, that was a great message, but that they would say, I was transformed. I had an experience with God at church this morning. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. And those of you that agree with me, would you say a hearty amen? Amen. Say, speak to me, Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't have my phone to know what time constraints we have here. Is there a clock nearby that I could look at? Amen. It's 1:07. It's a teenager that said that, right? They're the ones that are time conscious at church. Praise God. God bless you, whoever that was. All of us are drawn to Bible characters, Bible personalities, and for whatever reason, stuff that went on in their lives. Maybe it's something that you can identify with, and maybe just events that were powerful events that have impacted you and impressed your heart and have enabled you to grow and to move forward in your walk with the Lord. I don't know, maybe Abraham has fancied you because of the faith. Maybe David, because he was a man after God's own heart. Maybe Gideon, because of his courage and believing in God, even though God whittled down the army in such a way that he would get the glory. Maybe you like Elijah and the fire that came down in Elisha with that double portion. He did twice the amount of miracles that his mentor was able to carry out. And maybe you like Paul, and most of the books in the New Testament were written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Maybe Barnabas has been someone that has encouraged you, maybe because he was an encourager. And I have a number of Bible personalities that have inspired me. But one person, notwithstanding his shortcomings and his dysfunction along with the rest of his family, was Jacob. Jacob, there's something about Jacob that has inspired me. And there's one particular thing that stands out that's found in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. I've always been impressed with Jacob because at this point of his life, after he used trickery and he deceived his father and his family to get a hold of the family, the paternal blessing, he ended up on the run fleeing from his hometown, running from his brother Esau, in a desperate and dire situation. And he comes to a certain point in his journey as he's running, where he severs from a time from his family, and he moves on and he goes up to a mountain. He goes to this particular area, and the Bible talks about how there he had an encounter with the Lord. And we know this passage because there was where he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. I don't know how many of you wrestled with the Lord. I don't know how many of you have entered into conflict or have contended with the Lord in any particular point or subject in your life. But as a consequence of him wrestling with the angel of the Lord, he was changed. He was not the same. Amen. Not only was he changed, but his name was changed as well. And he went from deceiver to wrestler. Amen. And this was such a life-changing moment for him that he changed the name of that place and he called it Peniel. Peniel. And if you study the original Hebrew and find the meaning for the name Peniel, it means face of God. Face of God. In other words, what Jacob was saying when he named this place Peniel is that there in that place, as he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he had an encounter, come on, a face-to-face encounter with God. A face-to-face, up-close and personal experience with God. And I don't know how many of us can say, I've seen the face of God. How many of you can say, I've had a Peniel experience in my life? Maybe for some folks, this seems like something a little odd to ask, maybe a little outlandish to ask if we've had that kind of experience with God. But I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be operating in that type of mode where we're constantly having encounters with God. Come on, somebody. Where we're constantly having an experience with God, where we are there face to face, maybe not literally, maybe not physically, but we're having encounters with God in such a way that we cannot stay the same. Hallelujah. We need to be about the business of seeking and contemplating the face of God. That is the priority of every child of God. That should be the priority of every church congregation on the face of the land. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And when every kingdom has a king. Come on, somebody. Every kingdom has to have a king who is the personality that rules that kingdom. And if we could just get up close and personal with God, the kingdom of God will visit us. Oh, I'm feeling the presence of the Lord here this afternoon. Amen. So this should be the business of the church. I want to say to you today, and I don't think I'm preaching a message of great depth today. I just want to speak the heart of God to you today as the Lord has prompted me. But I want to say, if there's ever been a time where the church needs to seek the face of God, it's today. Come on, somebody needs to understand me today. Listen to me, it's not that God is lost. It's that we've been lost on our path. It's because we become estranged to his presence. It's because sometimes we turn our backs on God. And from time to time, we need someone to tell us, get with God. Get with God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get with God. Amen. Maybe his countenance is a little strange to you. Maybe his voice is a little incoherent to you. Maybe you've come to a point of your walk where you can't discern the voice of man from the voice of God, and you don't understand what it is to be in the face of God. I rose up this morning to come here and tell you, it's time that we seek the face of God. It's time to return to God with all our hearts. It's time to get with God and wrestle with Him. Are there any wrestlers in this house that would say, I want to get with God? I'm going through some stuff in my life. My family ain't what it should be. My marriage ain't what it should be. My finances aren't what they should be. But if I could just go to the mountain of God, and if I could just get there and start wrestling with the angel of the Lord, I believe everything is going to be all right. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's time to wrestle with the Lord. WWF ain't got nothing on those that pursue the presence of God. Hallelujah. Woo. I believe God is looking for a bride that knows how to entertain his presence. I believe that God is looking for a bride kind of like the Shulamite woman in the book of Song of Solomon, where she is saying, come, my dear, where God is awakening in the church, the bride that would begin to woo, that will begin to yearn, that will begin to ask God and inquire of his presence and say, there is nothing more important to me than the presence of God. So I want to talk to you about that, about seeking the face of God. It's time to seek the face of God. So many folks want the hand of God. Come on now. Oftentimes we come before the presence of God like a machine gun. And we say this in Spanish and it means give me. Dame, 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 dame. We do a drive-by with our KJV 66. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? And all we do is ask. All we do is request. And that's fine. The Bible does invite us to request. But when was the last time that you got in God's presence and the only thing you could do was just go, oh! You couldn't utter a word because you were going through such a hard time in your life that you can't utter something or articulate it or elocute it in the English language or even in Spanish. All you could do was say, God, I'm hungry for you. Oh, my God, my God, my God. That means that you have a hunger to seek the face of God. In the Old Testament, the word seek is a word that signifies an attempt to find, to require, to desire, to request, to inquire. And that's why Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is yet near. In the New Testament, the Greek word gives us the word pursue. Pursue. To seek is to attempt to understand. To seek is to pursue or struggle for something. And that's why Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When the Bible talks about face in 1 Chronicles 16:11, the scriptures say, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Notice how it doesn't say seek his hand. It doesn't say that the priority to seek his feet. It doesn't say that we should seek his back or any other part of his body. It says, seek my face. Come on, tell somebody, seek his face. And so when the Bible talks about face, it uses it in two tenses or two senses. And the first one is in the literal sense, the front part of your head. It is the part of your body that attracts and garners the most attention. But when the scriptures talk about seeking the face of God, it's talking figuratively. And it's an expression that talks about pursuing the presence of that person, the image of that person. And that's what God is calling us to do. And so a face through gestures, we know
a person's motives. Through the face, we understand and it reveals to us what the focus of that person is. Through the face of a person, we come to understand through gestures and expressions where they're headed, what their intentions are, what their attitude is. If you pull out a coin from your pocket, you'll see that there's a head and there's a tail. Amen. And so if you look at the face, what is it that the face tells you? There's a different precedent on the face of that coin. And that face tells you the value of that coin. Are you listening to me today? And so when we seek the face of God and we pursue His presence, we come to understand the worth of the presence of God. How many of you know that He's worthy of the praise? How many of you know that He's all that and a bag of chips and so much more? Hallelujah. And so to say that it's time to seek the Lord is to say that we need to make a serious and persistent attempt to reach God and to enter into His presence. Listen to me, I understand, and we learned this in Bible school about the omnipresence of God. That means that God is everywhere. He fills the whole galaxy and the whole universe. How many of you know that because God is omnipresent, He don't get nowhere late? He's already there. Amen. We may get there late, but God is never late. He's always on time. So we know that God is present in the general sense. And we know that the scriptures say that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But listen to me. We need the manifest presence of God in our lives. I need to know that I know that I know that I know that I'm walking with Jesus and everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Though my mama, though my daddy, though my family leave me, I know the Lord will pick me up. Hallelujah. Because He walks with me and I sense His presence and His Spirit is with me. And when I go and share the gospel with somebody, I may not be able to explain the gospel in the most simplest terms, but the presence of God begins to do something inside of that person's heart. And somehow they surrender to the message of the gospel. What's the proper motivation to seek God's face? Our pursuit to seek out God may be motivated by a need for something. Maybe we need intervention. Maybe we need to plead God for His mercy or His forgiveness or to acquire His wisdom. But listen to me, the most important thing that should motivate us to pursue God is to know God and to enjoy God. Listen to me, the prize of the gospel is Jesus. The center focus of the gospel and our message is God Himself. If we lose track of that, if we lose track of the King, we'll lose track of God's focus for us. Larry Crabb, a very well-known writer in the evangelical realm, says, many seek a church for its good music, and that's a good thing. Many seek a church for a good program. They seek a church for answers to our problems. Many seek the church. But there's something more important today in seeking God and seeking the church. And that is to know God. To know God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And listen, Paul went through some stuff. And he said, I count them rubbish. In the original language, that word brings us the word dung. Feces. Come on, somebody. Paul is saying everything else besides coming to know Christ is dung. In other words, it's unimportant. The priority of Paul and should be the priority of the believer and the priority of the church is to know Christ, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and to be conformed to His death. Paul says everything else is a waste of time in comparison to knowing God more. God is better than money. Come on, somebody. We need it, but God is better. God is more important than material possession. We need it, but God is more important. God is more important than our family, more important than entertainment, more important than TV, more important than image, more important than a name. What is your greatest ambition? I want to ask myself the same question today. What is my greatest ambition here in life? It should be to seek the face of God and come to know Him. One time I asked the previous church that I pastored and served in, I passed out a piece of paper before I preached that afternoon, and I asked everyone to write on there, what was, if they were to get one thing in life, what would be the one thing that you would ask God for? And I gathered everybody's responses, and I read a number of them, and I'm sure that a number of them were great causes and great needs and whatnot. And I read Psalm 27:4. And the psalmist David says, one thing. Come on now. We are jacks of all trade, right? We like to specialize in everything. That way we are marketable, amen? But David said, I'm going to specialize in one thing. Are you listening to me today? There's a lot of things out there, but I want one thing. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of things that are pulling me from all sides, but there's one thing that's my priority. Are you listening to me today? He says, one thing have I desire of the Lord, and this thing shall I seek, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And what he was saying, in essence, there is the greatest priority, is to be in the presence of God. And if there's anything that the church needs today, it's the presence of God. A.W. Tozer said more than 30 years ago that if the Holy Spirit would be taken and snatched from the face of the earth, the church would continue operating as if nothing happened. But I've got news for you. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the presence of God. In the morning, I need Him. In the afternoon, I need Him. In the nighttime, I need Him. I need Him all the time. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is beginning to awaken the bride. God is about to stir up the church of Jesus Christ. And He's looking for a bride that has a hunger for His presence, that would say, I'm thirsty for You, God. Hallelujah. For this we were created. For by Him and for Him. Come on, are you listening to me? He made it all, talking about Jesus. Same regarding God. But we were created for His pleasure. You got a set of clothes on this afternoon, which I hope you do. If you look at the label on your attire, you'll see that it has the name of the manufacturer, the designer. Come on. And if you're a child of God, we have the seal of the Spirit. We have the mark, the brand, the copyright, the patent of the Holy Spirit on us. That should glorify God in the same way that that tag on your clothes magnifies its designer. So we were created to glorify God and to seek His presence. How do we see God's face? Amen. The first thing that we need to do is to seek His face through prayer and fasting. Psalm 109 verse 4 says, while David's enemies were pursuing him, he was pursuing God. Hallelujah. You want to find a safe haven? Go to the presence of God. Come on. You want to find shelter from the rain? You want to find a tower? You want to find a place of security? Go and run to God. Meet Him face to face. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God. In other words, don't come in there wimpy. Come in there boldly. Come on, we have access. Tell somebody, I got access. I may not have membership for this Club Med or this golf place or whatever, but I've got access to the presence and the throne room of God. that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen to me, prayer is not a religious activity. Prayer is a strategy. Prayer is a vehicle to get with God. Some folks pray because they want to be able to say that they pray. But most people that hunger for God pray because they want God himself. Amen. It shows our reliance on God. Fasting and prayer shows that we're going to focus on God and put other things to the side. Amen. When I talk about praying, it's not praying for the sake of praying, not for a religious exercise, but to deny ourselves and to deny our comforts in order to focus on God. And how many of you know there's a lot of distractions here on earth? Second thing, if we're going to seek God's face, we need to seek his face with a prepared heart. With a prepared heart, 2 Chronicles 19, verses 1 through 3 says that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu went out to meet him and said to the king, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you." But then he says, "Nevertheless, good things are found in you." What were the good things? "In that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." To seek God. In order to have an experience with God and see him face to face, we need to prepare to have that encounter with God. How is it that we can prepare to be in the presence of God? The first thing that we need to do is to turn away from sin. Come on. I'm preaching to Pastor Danny. I'm preaching to myself. It's time to turn away from sin. Amen. Listen to me, church folks. We oftentimes feel that we're immaculate, that we've arrived. Amen. Because we feel we got it all together. We stop going bar hopping. We stop going to the clubs. We stop sleeping with our neighbor's wife or husband. We stop doing this. We stop stealing. But the truth of the matter is that oftentimes there are things of the heart that are weighing us down. Come on now. And when Jesus came, he decided to focus not so much on the externality, but the kingdom of God is a kingdom that comes into the heart of man to deal with the real issues. Come on, somebody. So God has to deal with our impurities. Amen. What's showing on the theater screen of our minds, of our imagination? What's going on when we have divisiveness, church? When there's unforgiveness in our heart, somebody stepped on our toes and we can't talk to them. We can't be around them. The atmosphere is too thick. It's too heavy and we can't be around them. Our unforgiving heart will keep us from having an experience with God. Listen to me. In order for us to welcome special guests into our house, in the literal sense, we need to move some furniture. Amen. See, when we invite folks that have come over in the past, we want them to see a new us. Amen. And so we begin to move the furniture around. We begin to clean. We begin to polish. We even clean behind the toilet bowl. Are you listening to me? We clean areas that we would normally not clean. Amen. We would spray some air freshener or light up some aromatic candles, and we prepare a special menu, and we bring, possibly buy some new attire so that when our guests arrive, that they will have a pleasing experience. And what I want to say to you today is that if we're going to entertain the presence of God and get in God's face, we got to move some furniture in our lives. The scriptures say that we need to worship God in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to focus on that. That's why the psalmist David said in Psalm 24 and verse 3 and on, it says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? None but the clean hands and those that have a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully." Listen, if there's anything that'll put a wedge between you and God, is sin. Amen. If there's something that'll put a wall between you and God, it's sin. And so we need to do what the psalmist David did. He says, Lord, search me. Tell your neighbor, ask God to search you. Search and know me. In other words, he's saying, do an up close, a deep investigation in my life so that he would search not only how I look on the outside, but to understand my thoughts, to understand the desires of my heart, to know what the inclinations that I have in my life. And I want God to fix some of that stuff. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need God to do some repairing in my house. I don't know about you, but I need for the Holy Ghost to come and fix some areas of my life that I've tried on my own, hallelujah. But I've come to the conclusion that I can't do it. Amen. I need Jesus. I need Jesus on the inside, working on the outside so that he could cause a change in my life. I've tried everything in the book. I've gone to counselors. I've gone to other sources, but Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We get insulated in our Christian culture. We got Christian seminars, Christian music, Christian radio. We got Christian even candy. We got Christian videos, Christian bookstores. And we even got a Christian lingo. And we could fool most of the people. Amen? But sometimes deep down inside, our hearts are dim. And they no longer have a hunger for God. I'm not here, church. I want to speak to you as our congregation. I'm coming to you in love today, church. I just want to be responsible to the word that the Lord has given to me today. I'm not here to step on you. I'm not here to try and make you come out with a low self-esteem. But I got to preach the word of the Lord. Is that all right with you? The other way that we prepare the way to be in the presence of God is by coming into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Amen. David said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so listen to me. The protocol to enter into the presence of the king is to come with the gift of praise in your hands and say, God, you are worthy of all the praise. Listen to me. This is not just in church. This is not only in the house of the Lord, but when you wake up in the morning, when you understand that you could have passed on during the nighttime and God woke you up this morning, you could wake up with a praise in your mouth. You could say, thank you, Jesus. I could have died during the night, during the midnight hour, but you woke me up this morning. You got me on my way. I'm here to do something great for him. Listen. The largest book in the Bible is the book of praise. Did you know that? 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. The largest chapter in any book of the Bible is in that largest book, the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. That's the largest chapter in the Bible. Could that be a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that the Bible starts with the first two chapters as an ode to the creation and the glory of God for having created mankind and the universe? Is it a coincidence that the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it ends showing a portrait of heaven and the throne of God where there are beings that are saying, hallelujah to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be all praise and glory and power and might, hallelujah, forevermore. Oh, we have been designed and we have been wired to worship and to praise God. And if you want to get in the presence of God, it's time to come before God with praise in our hearts. Judah was first. And we need to do that. Come on, I'm going to try and finish this in 5 minutes. If we're going to seek God's face, we need to seek his face with humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen to me, if there's anything that will cause God to turn his back on us, it's a spirit of pride, a spirit of self-sufficiency, a spirit of self-reliance. If we want God in our lives, we can't think, we can't come to the place where we feel that we can make it without him. Who do you talk to when you buy a house? Who do you consult concerning your family? if Jesus is Lord of our lives, and if God is the one that is our main recourse, then we need to turn to Him. To do otherwise is to say, I can make it on my own. So a humble heart acknowledges the greatness and the power of God and the need for God. God will show His face forth. If we want to seek the face of God, we need to seek it with all our hearts. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Listen to me, the heart is the part of our existence that's the inner man. It consists of our emotions, the seat of our emotions, the seat of our will, the seat of our intellect. It is the inner spiritual being of whom we are. And what God is saying, I want you to seek me from with everything that you have inside of you. That's why the psalmist David says that he had a hunger for God. And he said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And that's why he said, better is one day in the presence of God than a thousand elsewhere. David was a man after God's own heart, and the heart of David had a deep affect for the presence of God. Fifthly, if we're going to seek the face of God, we need to seek His face willingly. Psalm 27 and verse 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So David made a decision. Listen to me. Someone said, think a thought and it will create a deed. Sow a deed and it will create a habit. Sow a habit and you'll create a lifestyle. So everything starts with a thought, with a decision. David made a decision in his heart and in his mind to seek the face of God voluntarily. And that's why he said in Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do your will, my God. There's nothing worse than someone doing something they don't like to do. Amen. I've tried to put people on the usher ministry and they don't like being there. But because I think that they will look good at the doors, that I keep them there, but they're messing things up because they can't smile. Are you listening to me today? They don't want to be there. So I began to get a little wise and say, well, where do you want to go? Where is your gifting? Where is it that God wants you to be? Because if you delight where you're at, you will do it with joy. You will do it with passion. You will do it with musto. God doesn't want us to serve Him mechanically, liturgically, religiously. He didn't create robots. He created beings with self-will that can decide on their own, I love God. I want to serve Him with all my heart. That will say to God, as James 4:8 says, draw near unto God and He will draw near unto you. Seek His face. How else? With a diligent faith. Acts 2:42 says that the disciples, the first believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. Listen to me, the primitive, the early and apostolic church sought God diligently and consistently. And it's no wonder why the Holy Spirit backed up that church. They had all their shortcomings. But listen to me, there were signs in that church. There were miracles performed in that church. Even with the shadow of the apostles, folks got healed. And it's because their actions demonstrated their faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so listen, he says, whoever comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him diligently. So there's an association between faith and pursuit. Are you listening to me? So we nourish our faith with the Word of God so that we can have faith to pursue He who we don't see with our own eyes. So we seek God's face by seeking Him every day. Isaiah 58 verses 1 through 2 say, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Listen to me, our pursuit can't be only when it's convenient.
We can't base our pursuit of God based on our feelings. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. How many of you know that there are times when you pray when you don't feel like praying? There's many times where I sit down and I open up the Bible and I'm reading the Bible, and first instance, I'm not thinking. I don't have a desire to read the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes we don't want to, but sometimes we just have to decide that it's the best thing for us. Not because we want to fulfill a religious exercise. But then listen to, I believe it's like lifting weights where you gain muscles the first week or two. When you begin to lift weights, you get sore in your arms and it may hurt you a little bit. But as you continue doing reps, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Doing reps with the Word of God, doing reps with the presence of God, doing reps in prayer. We grow and we begin to develop a hunger for God. Then we need to seek Him early in the day. Isaiah 26:9 says, "With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early." Amen. How many of you know that the most important things and the priorities get done first? It means that they are of greatest importance. First things need to be first. How many of you know that God is first? David loved God. And he said in Psalm 63, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see you in your power and in your glory." Great evangelist D.L. Moody said the following: We are to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. Lastly, if we're going to seek God and seek His face, we need to seek with desperation. Seek with desperation. David said in Psalm 42 and verse 1, "As a deer panteth or longs for the water, in the same way I long for you with all my soul." Have you ever seen a deer looking for a brook, looking for water? You'll see them. I've seen deer, Temple Manual, years ago when I pastored there, oftentimes I'd look through the back window and I'd see deer there, and they're going around, they're looking for puddles of water, they're trying to find, and they're desperate to find water. Maybe they've gone a number of days without drinking water, I don't know what the case is, but David says that in the same manner that a deer is panting, is longing, has a yearning, has a longing to find water to quench their thirst, I also have a longing for God that talks about passion, that talks about desperation. Have you ever been desperate for God? Have you ever been passionate for God? I remember years ago, I was at home. I have an office at home as well as at the temple. And Celeste was smaller, and my wife was out doing some things, running some errands, and I was at home alone with my daughter. And I remember I was working on the computer, and all of a sudden, it's quiet in the house. How many of you parents know that when it's quiet, trouble is brewing? So I start going, and I start looking for Celeste. And I go to her room, and Celeste is not there. And I start calling on Celeste. I say, "Celeste, where are you?" I go downstairs. I'm not trying to panic or anything like that. But I went downstairs, went to the living room. Celeste is not there. I go to the kitchen. She's not there eating her favorite snack. I go to the side door, and I notice that the side door is open. And all of a sudden, this anxiety begins to build up inside of me. And I go outside, and I look outside the door, and I start saying, "Celeste, Celeste, where's Celeste?" And then I go. I used to live near an alleyway. So I go outside and I'm walking down this alley and I'm saying, "Celeste, Celeste, Celeste." And Celeste is not answering me. And I'm like thinking, "Wow, where's Celeste? Where did she go? What is she doing?" I begin to picture some ugly thoughts in my mind concerning what might happen to her. And I go around one part of the block and I'm walking around and I look like a crazy man. Because
at a certain point, I noticed that I'm walking around in shorts. I don't have a short or a t-shirt on. I don't have shoes or socks on my feet. And I'm walking around. I can imagine if a reporter comes by and takes a picture and puts a picture on the front journal and say, this is the pastor of Temple Emmanuel at the time. And I'm looking like a crazy man, but I didn't care at that moment because I was looking for Celeste. Amen. And so I go around the corner and I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, Celeste, Celeste, Celeste. And I come to a point where I said, I don't know what's going on. I began to say a prayer to God. I said, God, where is my daughter? I don't want anyone to take her. I don't think I could live without Celeste. And all of a sudden it came to my mind, is go back home and go down to the basement. So I go home. And I go to the back laundry room. And Celeste is sitting there playing with her dolls and combing their hair. Sitting in the corner. And I want to hug her and strangle her at the same time. But listen to me. This is what I want to say to you, church. We got to get that desperate. Tell somebody, desperate. We got to get desperate within us for God. Desperate for his presence, desperate for his manifest presence in our house, in our home, at the job, at the temple, wherever we go, we got to get desperate for God. I want to invite you to bow your head. I just want to say a prayer and I'm going to ask Pastor Louis to come forward. Amen. Father, I've preached the message that you put in my heart. Lord, there's a blessing for those that seek your face, a blessing for those that pursue you, those that are hungry for you. And I know that there's some folks here in this house that have been stirred up to become God wrestlers, to become pursuers of the presence of God, that are willing to pay the price and say, whatever it takes, I want to have that kind of relationship with God. I just don't want to be a part of churchianity. I want to be a part of a move of your Holy Spirit that brings life to my life and to those that are around me. I pray today, Holy Spirit, stir us up in such a way that we would have that hunger and that desire for you in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here today that would say, Pastor, I want to pray with you because I want to have that kind of relationship with God, an up close relationship with God, that I would hunger for his presence, that I would have a desire deep down inside, a desperation for God, that I would meet with him on a daily basis, face to face. If you want, I'm going to be here at the altar and I'd be happy to pray with you today as Pastor Louis comes forward.
We're living in desperate times, church. I declare this whole region of northeastern Ohio an Ebola-free zone. I'm telling you that. I just don't say that. I declare it. We're living in desperate times today because in the city of Houston, pastors have been mandated. They must turn their sermons in to the city if they have spoken at all about alternative lifestyle or homosexuality in any way, or be held in contempt of court and fined or be jailed. This is in America. There are churches today that have been warned that if you refuse to perform a wedding for a gay couple, you will lose your 501c3, your tax-free status. You will be fined and suffer potential jail time. This is in America. Schools have been shut down this week because of fear. People are anxious. People are worried. Church, we need the face of God. What a message. What a message. What an answer. What an answer. Woo. If we've ever sought the face of God, this is the time we need to do it. Now is the time. There ought to be standing room only in every house of God across America. His pastor. What a word that he brought to us today. And I want to encourage him. I want to love him. I want him to know that we stand with him. His church is right here in Cleveland. It's off West 25th Street. Got a beautiful big building. And he's my friend. He's your friend. He's your brother. And we need to be together. So I'm going to ask you to be a blessing to him and his family. I told Tina on the way here from the first service, Pastor Santo Davila preached in Lorraine. And I said, these men have been so faithful. Many of them, no one knows, but they're champions for God. You just heard from a champion of God today. Yes, you did. So whatever you can give to bless him, I know that he would appreciate that. Come, God bless you, these faithful men and women who serve us with ushering. I do not take it lightly. Thank you for your love and service. If you're making a check, just make it out to CNC. We'll give them the entirety of the offering after it's processed. Father, bless the gift and the giver now in Jesus' name. Amen. You could go ahead and receive the offering. I want to remind you of the soaking service this Wednesday night. It's going to be an amazing moment in the presence of God. Talking about seeking the face of God, that's this Wednesday. You can join us together as a corporation of God's presence, and we'll just cry out to him. Pastor is going to be available for ministry at the end of this service. You need prayer in any way, we want you to come. Altar ministers will be here as well. So I'm going to ask if the altar ministers would come now. Maybe you guys can go to the far right and the far left, and then Pastor will get him in the middle here. If you feel that you need to give your life to Jesus, maybe rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you need a healing in your body. Maybe you feel like you need a word from the Lord. Wow, what a great place to be. This is it. This is it. Maybe God's calling you to be a part of this ministry. We need you. You're needed. You're important. You have value. You have something to give. We celebrate you. So we want to pray with you about that choice. Church, let me ask you this question. If you value the house of God, now is the time to seek the face of the Lord. We need your help. We need your support. This is our church. I love what Mary said earlier. Without us here, this would have been a warehouse. It was one, and it would have remained one as a storage place for granite and construction materials. But because you've gathered in the love of Jesus, it has been transformed. Let's continue believing for transformation of life after life after life. All right? Let's stand together for the belief of what God's going to do. Come on, stand up on your feet. Thank you, Lord. Would you lift your hands with me just for a moment, and would you lead us in worship? Go ahead and sing. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship.
You've only led until you have it all. My heart is yours.
Make it a prayer today. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Won't relent until
not going to relent, Lord.
Have it all.
Till you have it all.
Upon my arm, the seal upon my arm. Where there is love, it is as strong as death. Jealousy demanding as the grave.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Come on, in this moment, make a commitment to seek him like you've never sought him before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Won't relent until you have it.
Take my whole heart, Father. Take my whole life, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Won't relent until you have it all.
Thank you, Lord.
My heart is yours.
If you need prayer, would you move from where you're standing and come to the far right or the far left? And then, Pastor, when you're finished there, would you mind joining me here in the middle? If you'd like prayer ministry, we want to call now upon the name of the Lord on your behalf. Otherwise, Wednesday night, soaking service. Don't forget, 7 o'clock. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard.